This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Let's just quickly have a chat about my new book, which is coming. It's out June the 27th, and I would just adore you all if you could click pre-order now, because I promise you this book is even better than my others. The Science of Plant-Based Nutrition is for everyone. It's for people that eat meat and for people that don't. And it's going to help educate you all about the benefits of a plant-based diet. We cover things such as obviously the gut microbiome, the immune system. Should you be worried about plant milk, seed oils, anti-nutrients? Do you need to take omega-3 supplements? There are so many questions, and I basically think that the world of scientific research is just changing at a dizzying pace, and myths and fads are proliferating everywhere. So with the Science of Plant-Based Nutrition, you can achieve a plant-packed diet that's right for you. This book is for children all the way up to adults. I hope that it will be in universities again, like the previous one, and schools and libraries. And I've got the most amazing forwards and good praise for it from Deliciously Ella, Joe Wicks, Fern Cotton, and Tim Spector. So if you could head over to Amazon now, hit pre-order on The Science of Plant-Based Nutrition, I promise you won't regret it. Welcome back to season 17 of Food for Thought. It's incredible to be here. My name is Rhiannon Lambert. For everyone that doesn't know, the reason this podcast is so unique is that I myself am a registered nutritionist. So I have two nutritional science degrees, a master practitioner, further diplomas in different areas of nutrition. The Retrition Clinic I founded in 2016. We have some amazing psychologists, dietitians, nutritionists in there to help you with your one-to-one advice. Not forgetting also, if you need any additional support to your diet, we have Retrition Plus, which is formulated for you with the latest scientific research out there. Now, we're here to bring you a fantastic series ahead, full of tons of amazing guests. If you need any extra information, you can find Retrition across all social media platforms, even from TikTok to Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn, and of course, you can head over to Amazon and leading bookshops and find any Rhiannon Lambert authored book out there, from The Science of Nutrition to recipe books about pregnancy, and of course, my first baby back in 2017, Renourish. So let's get on to it. Enjoy season 17 of Food for Thought. So today's episode is excruciatingly exciting for me. I actually can't believe it. We've got the amazing Radhi Devlukia coming into the studio, and we are going to have a conversation around her journey, which is one that particularly fascinated me. So Radhi actually grew up in the UK. I mean, she now lives in LA, which, let's be honest, I wish I was there right now. She's married to Jay Shetty, and she has just written probably one of the most beautiful recipe books I have ever had the privilege of seeing and cooking from, Joyful, which has become an instant New York Times bestseller. It's become a Sunday Times bestseller here in the UK. And yeah, we're going to have a chat today and delve into how she did actually train as a dietitian. And she's moved through to Ayurveda, which is a practice that's ancient. Ayurveda's been around for thousands of years. So today's conversation is going to be incredible. And without a doubt, let's crack on. So hello, Radhi.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me.
It's a pleasure. So it is a pleasure. I've been dying to talk to you because I found your journey particularly interesting myself. you know, coming from a dietetic background, moving in to look at Ayurveda, which is, it's like 5,000 years old.
It is. It's like the most ancient health science or health lifestyle to exist.
Yeah. That blows my mind in emphasis that we're still referencing something, but how incredibly empowering it is. So let's start at the very beginning for Radhi. You're from the UK.
I am. Born and raised.
Born and raised. Yeah. Do you miss it? Do you prefer LA?
I love London. I love the UK. It's where my family still is. It's where my roots are. So I will always have the most amount of love for it. I do enjoy living in LA. I love nature and being outside. And so it really gives the opportunity to do that. But London's home, you know?
Yeah.
Can't change that.
Yeah, no, I get that feeling. You're so comfortable here. And I could tell by the fact that you've packed so much into your schedule while you're here. She knows her way around the tube. Let's just put it that way. So how on earth did you make the decision? Because dietetics, I feel, is a kind of world away from Ayurveda. What was the turning point where you were like, actually, I think I want to go and study this? Because you have a degree from the college in America, Ayurveda.
I do, yeah. So I loved studying nutrition and dietetics. I thought it was such an incredible way to really learn about food and how it affects the body. And I really learned so much from that. But what I did notice was I still felt like something was missing. And one of those things was, you know, I believe that we are all individuals. And the problem was when I was doing like clinics and when I was doing working as a dietitian, I felt like I had to say the same thing to everybody. And although I totally appreciate, you know, what I learned and I'm so grateful for it, I'm so grateful for conventional medicine and what we do, I did feel like there was a misalignment between what I wanted to share with people and what I kind of had to. And so Ayurveda, when I came across it, when I moved to New York and then I had my, I came across this teacher, incredible teacher called Divya Alter. She's got an Ayurvedic restaurant in New York. And when I heard her speak about Ayurveda, it was like a light bulb went off. I was like, this sounds like a place feels like home. That felt like home for my health.
Yeah.
And I think it was because of how individual it was. It was not one size fits all. It wasn't you eat that salad, I eat that salad. It's going to make us both feel amazing. Mm. You know, it was so much based on, it's not about putting your health into other people's hands. It's about how do you empower a person through this knowledge to understand their health, their body, what they need for themselves. And I think that that's where I started leaning more towards Ayurveda, because I didn't want to be the person somebody came to fix their problems. I wanted to be somebody who teaches them how to fix their problems themselves.
Yeah.
And I find Ayurveda is definitely that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so grateful to have come on that path through nutrition, but I feel like Ayurveda is definitely where my heart is.
But it's made you who you are. And I feel having that grounding and that foundation and then being able to build on it with Ayurveda.
Yes, exactly.
Is the best way to do it.
It really was.
Yeah.
It was. I think it all happened in the right order that it happened in.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it's given you such a, well, empathetic knowledge and an appreciation for different care systems around the world.
Exactly.
And was it around that time that you suddenly thought, plant-based eating is for me? Was that around the time you moved into Ayurveda, or has that been a family tradition for years?
So I was born and raised a vegetarian. My grandma was a vegetarian. Her grandparents were vegetarian. Like, it was just, I feel like it's in my bloodline. I don't know whether my family, I don't know how far back I would go for them to have been vegetarians. So yes, I come from a vegetarian family, but so I was born and raised as a vegetarian. And then about 10 years ago, my sister read The Eating Animals by James Safran. And I loved everything that she did. And so I was like, you know what? She's vegan. I'm vegan now. And she was like, no, you need to figure out why. Like, why are you doing this?
Yeah.
So then I read the book. And it was one of those things where you just can't really unhear or unlearn or ignore what I couldn't do it. I couldn't ignore what I had read. And so from that point, I started slowly weaning myself off different things. Yeah. Mature cheddar cheese being the last one.
Hardest thing to go, cheese.
And British chocolate. That was really hard. Love Cadbury's. But eventually I just kept reminding myself, like my kind of mantra during that time, or the saying I kept telling myself was, another being suffering is not worth my satisfaction. And I think that just really fueled everything for me then. And that from that point on, I never looked back. I never turned back. Even if I wanted like a cheesy pizza that where you feel the cheese stringy and I was like, no, you know what? I don't really need that in my life right now. And so, yeah.
And was that helped with your cooking? Because I think to make a change like that, A, it's a huge one because the world around you, perhaps, you know, your whole life hasn't been supportive of this system. And I do feel like it's only in the last perhaps decade where we've noticed more of an acceptance for different eating behaviours and ethical issues. And do you think that that's really been helped, I suppose, the fact that now you could have that pizza now? Let's be honest, there are some really good vegan pizzas with the stringy cheese.
Definitely. There's so many options now. Yeah. My goodness, like when I first turned vegan, it was mainly my mum just experimenting in the kitchen, trying to make sure that we were getting, you know, everything that we wanted to eat, she would find a way to make it happen. So I think she's a big part of why we were able to stay vegan, because she never let us feel like we were missing out on anything. Like she hadn't turned vegan herself at that point. But whenever we wanted anything, she'd find a way to figure it out and make it taste just as good. I also think, you know, when you end up eliminating things from your life, you end up learning how to kind of compensate for it. And what I mean by that is adding flavor to food that you weren't used to adding. And growing up in an Indian family, you're so used to having spices and so much flavor throughout the food. And so that was kind of a benefit I felt I had growing up, where I already knew how to add in so much flavor to food without it feeling like it's compromised or missing anything.
Which is one of the areas where a lot of people struggle in the Western world. We know the stat, I think you've probably heard it a million times, 60% of our diets are ultra processed foods. And a lot of people don't grow up with a spice rack. They don't grow up with a fruit bowl.
No, they don't.
And without that access, how can you explore these flavors? And what I loved about your new book, you've got 125 recipes in it, is the fact that the creative, delicious flavors. I mean, I was looking at it thinking, oh my goodness, this is vibrant. It literally is joyful. It's adding in.
It is. It is. And it's about adding in. And at the same time, it's about simplifying. Like, how do I listen to what my body needs and act according to that? Not listening to so many other people around me, but how can I start simplifying like the voices and the people and the, you know, the professionals, everything that I'm listening to externally, how can I simplify that to my own body and my own body's voice and hearing that? And I think Ayurveda really taught me about how important that is, to start listening to your own body and working from that, from a inside point of view versus outside coming in.
Absolutely. And just for anyone listening, of course, if you are making dietary changes, just a little disclosure, just check, you know, you're getting B12 and all the sorts of things if you're making a drastic dietary change. Definitely. Things should be done slowly, right?
Slowly. And figuring out, that's also why I feel like I was able to make a sustainable change, because I went from vegetarian to vegan, I didn't end up going towards the things that are substitutes.
Exactly.
And so I think that's where sometimes we can go wrong, because a lot of those things are not nutrient dense. And so actually, if you just stick with what nature provides, you can get everything that you possibly need. Like when you have variety on your plate, that's exactly what will show you that you're getting enough variety of vitamins, minerals, and everything that your body needs. Yeah. And so usually it's not about adding in supplements when you turn vegan. And it's like, no, how can I actually just buy and cook the foods that are colorful and that provide me with so many different things?
What I'm hoping is that your book is going to help create a movement of people wanting to cook more, because
I hope so.
That is what we're missing. And I see it now as a mother with younger generations, and I see the skill of cooking slowly dying out.
I know.
And that is really scary.
It is scary. It's scary for our guts. It's scary for children. It's scary for it's scary for so many reasons, because food is a way you can connect to your body. And so it's another avenue where people are disconnecting from their own bodies. And not only that, to know what exactly is going into your body is so important. But then also eating homemade food from a young age, also so important, like for your microbiome, for everything, like the way that your gut strengthens as you grow old and as you get older. It all starts from when you're a child, and then trying to rebuild that when you're older can get really difficult.
So you would say that, I mean, from an observation as an outside person, your family played a really crucial role actually in integrating you into the kitchen.
Yes.
with the belief and the, I would say, respect for food, which is something also the gratitude that, wow, we've got access to this incredible amount of produce. How lucky are we? Let's make something beautiful. Is that the type of attitude?
Definitely. I think that how I grew up with my mum cooking homemade meals for breakfast, lunch and dinner, even though she had a full-time job. I've spoken about this so much,
it's
but
so hard.
I think about it all the time. Yeah. It was my normality. But I realized as I got older, it was not normality for so many people. One of my best friends from university actually sent me a really beautiful text the other day, and she had just received my book. And she said, you know, I feel so happy looking at it. And it makes me feel nostalgic because I forgot how much of an impression it left me when my mum would cook homemade meals from home and she would literally get it shipped to me in Nottingham when she couldn't drive across, like when we had exams and things.
We all need your mum.
Yeah, I know, all packed up, like homemade food that she would send across. And she said that I didn't grow up with that. And that was the first time I felt love through food, and my connection to food became something of love. And I was like, that is so beautiful, because that's how I was so lucky, and I feel so grateful that I grew up that way. But people don't often have that, so you have to then create it for yourself.
Yeah, I find that very inspiring. That's the mother I want to be. I want to be that mum that sends food off to university. Goodness me. But it goes to show that, you know, things like you mentioned, nutrient deficiencies. Let's take your delicious three bean chili, which I made the other night. Not chili, curry, correcting. Yes. Lots of lovely, delicious spices within. If you take beans and pulses, they are a source of iron. If you combine them with the tomatoes or vitamin C, you get iron absorption. And I think we are lacking a basis of nutritional knowledge, which is why, I mean, I'd love to hear from you. Why do you think people in today's generation, I mean, you're obviously very well known, you've got your husband, you have your own brand, you're an entrepreneur as well. So you must see it. Why are people turning away from cooking and going towards fads and trends?
I think it's because we're not taught the basics when we grow up. I really do. And I think fads also, it's because of who you admire and who you put a lot of your emphasis towards. And, you know, we end up believing a lot of what people say without evidence. And it's so interesting to me because I've been thinking about this a lot. You know, whenever I share things about spices or, you know, Ayurveda, where there are a lot of natural things I'm saying, like even adding spices to your water, I'll say stuff like that. I get messages that are like, where's the scientific evidence behind this? Where's all the studies? And then I think about how a lot of the things that we actually end up doing, even the ones with studies sometimes, don't you remember back in the day, cigarettes were told that they were good for you?
Yeah,
and then don't you remember when they told us that coconut oil was, and then it wasn't, and then avocados were, and then they weren't, and then they're just so alcohol, like, was drink as much as you want and it was fine, and now it's not.
Those oils, now it's oils, everything, plant milks, you name
and
it.
And I just think that even the things with the scientific evidence, which I'm not saying isn't necessary, but even the things with evidence, we don't even know how that evidence has been collected or who it's been collected for. Mm-hmm. And so when you're sharing things that actually can have, that seem woo-woo in inverted commas, because the fact is Ayurveda hasn't had much funding, but it's 5,000-year-old traditions, 5,000 years worth of people who have tried and tested. And by the way, with no financial incentive. So always think about this. My grandma shared a lot of this stuff with me growing up. I grew up with a lot of these practices,
that's
a lot of the rituals,
wisdoms and,
a lot of the wisdom, a lot of the spices that I use, the medicinal benefits, and why I'm using them is because when I would have a cough or a cold, my grandma would put specific spices and warm it in milk or in water, and that's what I would drink. I wouldn't take a paracetamol.
You have your milk, the bedtime moo milks. I saw that's beautiful. Yeah, is that from your nan?
No, those ones aren't. But like, there are so many spice drinks and things that my grandma would do. She would share it as from generation to generation, not because she was a brand ambassador for it, but because she just knew that that's what was going to heal. So actually a lot of this knowledge that has been passed down has the purest intention behind it. It's to heal their babies and their families. Like, what's purer than that? Of course, that's going to be something. If it didn't work, they wouldn't be sharing it and they wouldn't be using it. Yeah. And so I think that there's one part, which is listening to your body, which we've honestly been told from a young age. Listen to your teachers, whatever they say you should do. Listen to your doctors, whatever they say you should do. Whenever you're feeling anything, find an external source to tell you what to do. And so I think what a lot of the messaging needs to change a little bit of, listen to your body first and then seek advice externally. Yeah. Don't go for that as the first line.
It's really complicated.
Yeah.
When you break it down, the context and the nuance and, you know, how do people don't know how to listen to their bodies anymore because we're so tuned out. And I do see it, you know, I see it in my kids just anecdotally. You know, I see the intuitive eating that they possess, the ability to see foods as neutral items and not favor just the societal favored items. They would eat anything if you put it on the plate. Yeah. And then they go to school. I haven't got that yet, but I've got that coming soon. And it's all going to go out the window.
Of course.
And it goes to show if we were all a bit more in tune with our bodies. And I loved what you said about, look, you don't need to have a study to drink a certain drink you want to drink and feel the benefits for yourself. You can feel and believe what you want to believe. Yes. And I feel like the online world, and I don't know how you navigate it because you've got a significant profile and, you know, you and your husband are high public figures now. And if you look at it, how do you navigate the angry, I call them angry corners on the internet because people are divided into all sorts of camps. Yeah. Can't we just embrace one another and accept and learn and listen?
I know. How do I navigate it? Yeah. I navigate it by reminding myself that everybody just has a lot of pain inside of them. And I always see it as, I try to see it as a reflection of how can I change or adapt or share with the best intention. And then I really can't do much about it. And my main thing that I've been telling myself over and over again is if you want people to see you, you can't decide how they see you. Like if I make a choice to be seen online, I cannot choose how that person sees me with what perspective. And so with that choice that I have made to be seen comes with so much. You can't have the good without the bad. If I want to be seen and want to share these things, there's always going to be discrepancies. There's always going to be people who don't agree with you, who just don't like you, don't like the way that you look, don't like the way that you talk. And so I think for me, I always try and make it a reflection back to me rather than trying to fix the other person's perception or view of what I'm doing. Because that can be, you know, that can completely distract you from what your original intention even was when you're focusing on how other people have perceived your intention.
Yeah, you don't think
about
that.
It just goes on and on.
It does, doesn't it? I'm trying to think. They think that you think that they
exactly,
think.
Exactly.
It's just too much. Hi guys, just a quick moment of your time to introduce to you all my new Retrition Plus children's vitamin D drops. Now these are carefully crafted, you know, I've got children myself with your little ones in mind, and the easy to use child friendly drops are designed of course with a vegan vitamin D3 to support normal bones, muscles and teeth. These drops aren't just easy to take because, you know, I put them in a milk bottle or I can put them in water. They can take them as they are in their mouth, whatever's easiest for your child. But, you know, we make it an ultimate health hero for your children. We ensure that they're going to grow up strong and healthy. It's our top priority, let's be honest. And it's recommended by the government that children take vitamin D drops. If you guys want to find out more about Retrition Plus, head over to RetritionPlus.com and you can browse all of the products that we've created and find one that's right for you. My commitment and the team's commitment to health goes way beyond just providing quality supplements. I believe in transparency, sustainability, and a responsible approach to well-being. So Retrition Plus is essentially like your partner, I suppose, in achieving a healthier and more balanced you. We are rooted in science. We are focused on you. Be sure if you want to sign up, of course, to our newsletter via the website, and make sure you follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Retrition Plus so you are up to date with the latest products and science-based information. Would you say, as well as a female in business, you've encountered any major challenges there, obviously, being accepted, or have you ever had imposter syndrome in that type of area?
Oh my gosh, definitely. Probably most of my life, to be honest. I think the only thing that I write this in the book, that I felt like I was a perpetual student. I never wanted to actually take what I learned and do anything with it. I just wanted to keep learning.
Never
and part
graduate.
Of me thought maybe I was just, yeah, part of me thought maybe it's just because I love learning. And I realized actually I was hiding behind the learning because I was too scared of going out and doing anything with it just in case I got it wrong. And what helped me to actually share was, one, I don't have to see myself as a teacher just because I'm sharing. I can see myself as a bridge that takes someone from one part of their life to another, based on what I have learned. I'm not telling you that I'm an expert, I'm going to save your life. I'm telling you these are the things I have practiced that have helped me. And then hopefully if they help you, it will take you onto your new path. And also I had a teacher who said that when you knowledge that's not shared is useless, because exactly. it creates ego in you. Like, you end up building and accumulating skills and talents mm-hmm. and knowledge. And then what do you do with it? You either harness it within you and believe that you are the owner of it, that you are the person that created it, or you do, we're all part of an ecosystem of learning and sharing, and I help you, you help me, or you help me, I pass it on to that person who pass it on to that person.
The ripple effect.
It is. And we are. We're all just part of like this insanely beautiful like ecosystem, whether it's nature providing to us, us providing back to nature. And it's just, it's, and us providing to each other as humans. I think that that's just part of it, is learning and sharing. And every teacher that we have in our life is so different. We have teachers from the moment we're born, in our mothers, our fathers, our sisters, and then the teachers that we have professionally, and then the mentors that we have. Like, how grateful, I see it as a way of being grateful to our teachers wow. by passing it on to other people.
Beautiful. It really does instill, you know, we never stop learning, but we have to enhance that, like you said. And yes. it doesn't mean, I actually get worried when people call themselves an expert.
Yeah
I do get worried. Exactly. And thinking, you know,
never,
the more you know, the less you know. Yeah. And that's how I feel in life. The totally. More I keep studying, the less I feel I know about the world, and the more, the deeper meaning underneath that, with the ripple effect and the fact that we are meant to, as a society, be supporting the planet we live on. How do you communicate the message that you have, mm-hmm. that you mentioned about a life for a life?
Yeah.
And getting that bridge across to people that don't see the planet as something we need to respect?
I've learned that when you come from a place of judgment, people feel it straight away.
Yeah.
And so I believe that you should live how you want others to. And then hopefully if they experience it, they then want to change something too. I think about that in my grandma all the time. Mm. Like, the way that she has lived her life, she inspires me every moment that I'm with her. And I'm not just saying that because she, the way that she carries herself, her spiritual practices, the way that she eats in such moderation, the way that she is to other people. Like, I have seen her be, she's 90 years old now. And since I've known her, every part of her has just been wanting to grow and learn and become better and better in every part of her life. And when you see someone doing that and treating people lovingly, treating people with compassion, feeling, you feel energy around you all the time. When you feel someone's genuine intention and you feel someone's deep joy. My grandma has such deep joy. You feel it from a mile away because of all the things she's done in her life, all the practices she has in her life, her spiritual connection. It's just, it's so powerful that I believe that when you see someone who is genuinely living a life that they love and practices that they love, you automatically feel attracted to them. And then you're I want to do what they're doing, because obviously they're getting so much joy from it. In their mind, in their heart, in their body. And so you just have to live it, and then other people will hopefully want to carry it on. I don't think teaching people, scaring people, judging people, asking them to do it out of fear, out of anger, I think they're all very temporary changes, or people will pretend and have a false presentation of themselves without actually wanting to do the work.
Yeah, it's almost like media sensationalist headlines you get that, you know, create a huge negative, because negative news fast, you know, spreads faster than joyful
Definitely,
news. That's
yeah.
the thing. But knowing that you've had that strong female foundation, I just think is so inspiring.
Yeah.
And hopefully to everyone listening, you know, let's talk to our elders more. If you're lucky enough to still have grandparents around, really
Definitely.
Get it from them. I just don't think, again, that's something that we should be working on for our health as well.
Yeah, there's I think it's Daniel Buettner.
Yeah, with the blue zones.
Yeah, and one of the things that he was saying about the blue zones was the reason a lot of people live longer is because they remain integrated into society. So, for example, with a lot of the elderly in blue zones, they're not just told that to do nothing and just sit in their room and do nothing and be around no one. They're given kind of community responsibilities for as long as they live. And so when you feel... And I always think this, like, when you keep people feeling like that they are relevant and important, as we all should feel that we have value in the world, it allows you to feel like you should be here and want to contribute and live longer, and makes your life, you know, we all need human connection. And I think giving that space to elderly, whether it's asking them for knowledge or trying to reintegrate them into society in the right way, then I think that's a beautiful way to be able to do that.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. So... questions now, moving on to what has been your biggest barrier or hurdle that you've had to overcome professionally, perhaps in the last few years?
Well, good question. Biggest barrier or hurdle? Honestly, writing the book was a really big milestone for me, because I'm not someone who's very used to finishing things. It's something that I've struggled with a lot in my life. I love starting things and I'm like, yeah, this is amazing. I'm going to do amazing at this. And then I find something else new and shiny to do and I forget about the whole thing. I'm like, oh, damn it.
Yeah.
But the book was 3 years of commitment and work and growth and learning things that I'd never done before and experiencing all these new things that I'd never done. And so that for me had been a huge challenge, to stick to something for 3 years and be committed to it without also worrying about, like, 3 years later, I'm like, oh, I would have changed this and I would have changed that. And there's a lot of thoughts that I had, but at the same time, I'm like, wow, I actually did this. I have this book in my hand that I created. Like, how special is this that I managed to complete this project? And so that was definitely a hurdle, but I feel like it made me feel so good about myself that I actually finished it.
Yeah, it's empowering, right?
Yeah, it really is.
Gosh, this is my almost child here, my project.
Yeah, exactly. I keep calling it an overbaked baby. I'm like, you need to get out now. Like, I'm ready.
Off you go.
Yeah, exactly.
So back to the last question I probably have before we move on to questions from listeners would be, what were your favorite recipes in the book? And what was your favorite aspect of it in terms of writing Joyful?
So what I loved about when I first thought about writing Joyful, and when I was talking to my publishers about it, I said, I don't want it to just be a recipe book. That is something I don't want it to be. I love recipe books, but the book, I want it to be so much more than that. And what's been so beautiful is I've had messages from people and people tagging me saying, I'm just snuggled into bed and I'm reading this book. And I'm like, how beautiful that a recipe book can also be something that you want to snuggle up and read in bed, because there's wellness rituals in there. There's practices. It's so juicy with knowledge, but knowledge that makes you feel good. And so the whole book is about, how do you create joy in throughout the day in little bursts of joy throughout the day. And whether it's the morning when you wake up and doing a breath work that increases oxygen in your body, which naturally makes you feel a little bit happier, or whether it's doing a skincare ritual for yourself because you're a mum of three and you don't get any time except for 5 minutes in the morning to give yourself a little bit of love, or whether it's eating food that actually uplifts you, energizes you, and makes you feel good. And food that tastes good and makes you feel good. Like, you don't have to compromise on taste just because you want food to make you feel good too.
It's like the worst nutritional myth in the world.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're in a nutrition space or world, surely it's restriction. No, it's not.
No, it's not at all. And so that is the thing I love about the book. Yeah. And that is so much more than just food that makes you feel good. It's everything that your life, that everything that has made my life a bit more joyful, I managed to fit into that book.
So if you could teach me one ritual now.
Oh, yeah.
How am I going to breathe? What would it be? Because I was looking through the beginning of the book and you set out some nice morning routines and things. So what would be
for me, hands down, I'm going to give you two. But the number one is breathwork. Breathwork has absolutely changed my entire life because there is breathwork that can calm you for anxiety. Like, I use it whenever I'm walking into rooms where I don't know people. I use it whenever I'm coming on podcasts. I use breath to energize me in the afternoon. You know, when you get that afternoon slump and you need a bit of energy, there's breath work for that. When you need to wind down in the evening, there's breath work for that. When you need extreme energy, there's breath work for that. Like, there's a different breath work for everything. And so I would say the best breath work is taking a big yogic breath, it's called, and it's just breathing. We should do it together.
Okay,
actually.
Yeah, go.
Okay, because I feel like taking deep breaths is really important.
We
don't breathe
this.
Properly.
I used to be a soprano, so I know about my diaphragmatic breathing.
Yes,
but
exactly.
I never used to put two and two together with how good it was for me back then.
Gosh,
and I just forgot all about it.
Even on the way here, I was feeling a little bit tired and I was just taking deep breaths to increase oxygen into my mind. And I was like, I feel so much better walking into the studio having done that.
Guide me through.
Okay, I will guide you through. But I just wanted to say that most of us breathe extremely shallow. We breathe from our chest up. So this breath is all about breathing deep down, not just into your belly, but you imagine the oxygen flowing all the way through your legs, your arms, all the way down to your feet and your extremities. And so we'll start off, you sit comfortably, just start loosening up your body.
Excited for this. God, I needed this today, ready?
I know, me too.
Oh, God. Okay.
So you're just going to take a deep, big breath in. and out. But now, on your next inhale, imagine the breath traveling all the way through. Let's go. Stop breathing in through your mouth, your nose, in down through your throat, into your stomach, and then flowing all the way through your legs, your arms, your body. And then when you exhale, imagining all the stagnant air leaving your body, not just stagnant air, but everything that you no longer need, that no longer serves you in your body, start releasing it through each breath. So I'll keep saying this over and over again. So you keep taking your breath in and out in that same way. As you're breathing in, feel the air move through your entire body. With each breath, when you exhale, imagine all that stagnant air and energy leaving your body, and loosen your shoulders. Move your tongue from the top of your mouth and let it sit. Release all the tension in your back of your neck, in your knees, in your feet.
Oh,
and
wow.
with each exhale, you essentially go through your body in that way. So yeah. I didn't go through the whole thing, but you essentially move with each breath from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet.
Okay.
And you go through each body point, channeling air there. And then also relaxing that part of your body. And you don't realize where you're holding tension a lot of the time until you channel the breath to that area.
And that took us, what, a minute, under a minute, 30 seconds? And yet it's so simple to put into all of our days.
It is.
But we just don't. I needed you today, for instance.
Yeah,
I know I should be diaphragm. I know that my parasympathetic nervous system is going to thank me for doing that. Mm. But by visualizing is powerful.
It really is.
When you said, imagine your legs, imagine stagnant air, I literally was like, yes, get rid of this stagnant air.
Especially on the exhale, like exhale loudly, like take it all out, because there's so much stagnant air that sits at the bottom of our lungs too. So getting that out just so that all the freshness can come in.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Oh, right. Let me tell you what the second one
please
is quickly.
Do, give me second one.
This is an Ayurvedic ritual which is very common in Eastern culture, but not in Western culture. Okay. Using a tongue scraper, okay? Everyone needs to use a tongue scraper.
Okay, I saw this. Yes. I saw this. I'm interested in oral microbiome and tongue scrapers. Tell me.
Yes.
This is fascinating.
Well, okay, so you don't have to scrape hard. You don't take everything off your tongue. Like, that's not the goal of it. The goal is to basically remove all the bacteria that accumulates overnight, because overnight is when our body does a lot of the cleaning.
Yeah. We shed skin cells overnight.
You shed skin cells externally, but internally is when the mechanisms for cleaning up start and happen. And so it goes through all your organs and all your bodily systems, and your lymphatic system collects all of that gunk that your body no longer needs, and it takes it out. Mm. One of the places is on the top of your tongue. Mm. And so one of the key signs of not disease, but when your body is probably not working the way it should, is a coating on your tongue.
And this is Ayurveda. This is
an Ayurveda.
Amazing, interesting.
So scraping your tongue is so important, because you get rid of all the toxins that have accumulated in your body that have landed on your tongue out in the morning. I do it every morning and every night. Again, it doesn't take away, like,
do you have to buy a tongue scraper? Or can you just do it with like a...
No, don't use your toothbrush.
No, I was going to say, what do you do with... How do you do it?
A metal tongue scraper. Buy a tongue scraper on Amazon. I'm telling you, you do not know how clean your mouth will feel if you have not used one.
Oh, I'm up for anything that's going to help me feel fresher, to be honest, at the moment. Right, righty. I'm taking up all these personal, amazing, wonderful things, but we have questions for
you.
We have quite a few. So the first one... Oh, yeah, I meant to ask you that. What's your favourite recipe in the book from Tia?
Oh, yes, you did ask me.
I forgot as well.
My favourite recipe, I can't say my favourite overall, but my favourite recipe right now that I've been making is the Mexican lasagna.
Nice.
So good, because it's just like layers of just yumminess, but you still get a lot of the vegetables and beans, and it's got a bit of everything.
Do you know what I loved as well about the book is that you don't exclude ingredients like sugar. You don't completely, you understand the appreciation of moderation and about enjoyment, but equally not being crazy with
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. There's a bit of everything for everyone in that book.
Which is fantastic. So Maddie has said... can you share a moment or experience on your journey that made you feel inspired to start sharing the routines and practices? So what gave you the confidence, I suppose, to start
saying...
Honestly,
I think that we've talked about so far. Yeah. Like having all these wonderful women in my life, all the teachers that I've had in my life. I don't want to repeat myself. So I would say it's everything that we've already spoken about.
Amazing. And then Millie, this is a good question. I'm not the best cook. I want to learn. Is your book good for beginners?
Oh, yeah. I would say that it's got lots of 30-minute recipes, but then it's also got those recipes where if you want to spend a bit more time in the kitchen and you want to make a baklava cheesecake that maybe takes, you know, an hour instead of 30 minutes, or you feel like making a three-course meal, then there's so many different add-ons that you can add into each dish to make it a little bit fancier.
Yeah.
But also things you can take away to make it a little bit faster.
Exactly. And what's the phrase? With cooking, it's if you don't start, you're never going to start either.
No, exactly.
Cook twice. Cook once for two. What's the phrase? There's a phrase.
Oh, I don't know this
cook
one.
Cook once, it means you'll have like four portions. All you have to do is cook once.
Cook once. Oh, yeah, exactly.
Why
carry
can't
on.
I think of the phrase? Oh, my goodness.
Someone listening knows. You know
Someone
it.
Will know. Sleep deprivation's not good for my brain. And Rachel, this is a good one. She said, how do you align your cooking with your husband? Do you both do it together, or are you like ships in the night? Because I'm assuming that's
no,
obviously...
I don't let him in the kitchen. That's number one. Yeah, he's not allowed. He's got so many great skills. Cooking is just not one of them. And you know, it doesn't have to be. He's happy. Yeah. Like when we got married, we had a rule. He was like, I'll do all the cleaning, you do the cooking. I'm like, that is great.
That is brilliant.
Yeah, you want to wash dishes? That's wonderful. Yeah. Don't want you in my kitchen.
No.
He's made like one recipe for me his whole life. It's in the book. It's called Jay's Mexican Rice.
Nice.
Yeah. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
But it was a one-hit wonder.
Yeah. Bless him. Okay, we move on to our fact or fiction round.
Let's go.
Right, number one. Mm-hmm. Eating healthily means giving up all your favorite indulgent treats.
Absolute fiction.
Fantastic. Spices can be used not just for flavor, but for healing the body daily.
Facts.
Love it. Vegan and plant-based diets lack essential nutrients.
Absolutely not. Fiction.
Brilliant. Cooking from scratch is expensive and time-consuming.
No, fiction.
Brilliant. Achieving a joyful life requires strict dietary restrictions.
Absolutely not.
And then our skin can be improved through what we eat.
Yes, 100%. Facts.
Skin is an organ, like...
You
Come
can
on.
Feed your skin.
Yeah, absolutely. Vegan meals are bland and boring.
Not with a few spices. Get yourself a spice box, guys, and fill it up.
That's a good birthday or Christmas gift
it
idea.
It really is.
I love that spice box. Mindfulness and meditation can be a really useful tool to help improve our general well-being.
Fact.
Yeah. What we eat can have a really good effect on our hair and our nails.
Yes. I noticed such a big difference when... Yeah, what I'm eating, but also what you're putting onto your hair and your skin, because it's like you said, it's an organ. It actually goes into our body. It seeps through into our body. So being mindful of what you're eating, but then also what you're putting on top of it.
I could not agree with that more. And guys, you have to really check the products. But though that's the end of the fact or fiction round. That was really, really good.
That was really good.
Before I go off on a tangent, but you don't know. For instance, I think the beauty world, I'm not an expert in this at all, but things say sometimes they're cruelty-free. It doesn't mean necessarily they are. You have to do so much detective work these days to get to the bottom of what you're actually putting on your skin.
Yeah, you really do.
So that does wrap up today's episode, but we do always finish with a food for thought. So a nice take-home message. And I think I'll start just by saying... It's about time that we had another incredible female powerhouse like Radhi with a book like this. And it's also about time that women in business start to thrive more. And I know that's something you believe in, but equally listening to your body is a message I really got from this conversation today. And appreciating and respecting yourself enough to just give yourself a minute to check in. I'm going to try really hard, my take home, to do my breath work. I know better. I should know better. Do I do it every day? No. And now I'm going to. Radhi, what would be your take home food for thought message for all of our listeners?
Mine was going to be to tune into your body. But I will start by saying, just start observing your body. Like that's what it would be. If you're not used to listening to your body yet and you feel like you don't know what your body wants or what it needs, start by observing it. And the best way to do that, I started by just journaling. And I don't mean Dear Diary style. I mean looking at the foods that you're eating and then writing down how they're making you feel. And that's such a beautiful way to start listening to your body by saying, I'm going to watch you and I'm going to start learning and understanding you. And I'm going to do that by basically being a little, you should be your own little guinea pig, basically. Yeah. Start really looking at what makes you feel good, what tastes good to you, what makes your body feel uplifted and happy, and what doesn't, and what depletes you. And so simply starting that way can really change your perspective on your body and what you're eating.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Food is interlinked with how we feel, how we think, what we do. I think that's just a fantastic message. So everybody, to find out more about this incredible female powerhouse, where do they go? I mean, I'm sure you're a Sunday Times bestseller now. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And New York. So where thank can we you. Go to oh, find out more?
Radhi Devlukia on Instagram, and you can buy my book at joyfulbook.com.
Amazing. Radhi, thank you for coming
thank
on the podcast.
You. So lovely.
Right, that's it. If you're enjoying Food for Thought, you will love what we have coming up in future episodes, I have no doubt. So if you're not already, you just have to hit the subscribe button on your podcast app. So this means you get a little notification bell. I wish I'd known about it earlier. There is a lot of misinformation out there, and I really hope that we're continuing to bring you the latest research along with our special guests to ensure that you're just getting the best experience possible. So if you are enjoying our episodes and you're learning lots, then please do leave us a review or get in touch. This will help enormously and ultimately help us reach more people and make sure we're doing the right thing by you and giving you the right information. So if you want to learn more about the best-selling books, the clinic, perhaps you need to book in to see one of our fantastic clinicians, or to find out more about Retrition Plus, you can find everything you need to know on retrition.com. And you can follow, of course, me on Retrition on all social media platforms. Yes, I'm even on TikTok now, guys. So you can head over there and check it out.